Portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
And good evening, everybody. Edwin Lee Reimer here with you. Ed Reimer with the Edwin Lee Reimer Show. We've got some folks here with us going to be speaking to you. Mr. Murfreesboro is here, none other than Mr. Bill Wilson. Welcome, Bill.
Hey.
You're familiar with WGNS.
Yes, I am.
And another good friend we've got that's here with us. He's a candidate, your candidate for District 19 at Rutherford County Commission. Pat Clements is here. Pat, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back. I appreciate you having me.
Are they feeding you well out there on the campaign trail? You got a lot of spaghetti suppers, man, and chili suppers and all that?
Well, I mean, I just came back from the Rutherford County Democratic Women Garden Party and had some great food there.
Really?
But, you know, when you're out running around all the time, you don't have much time to bore.
I don't ever.
Were y'all playing pin the tail on the donkey?
No.
Democrats, you know.
No,
it's a joke. Come on, work with me,
no,
kid.
I'm trying to think. I mean, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
I do have a donkey sticker on the back of my car. So.
Okay. Folks, I think you can see what kind of evening it's going to be. So if you want to turn in early, I understand. But for right now, we're going to get maximum yield of our time for these gentlemen. And right now, my name is Edwin Lee Reimer, and yes, for right now, I am still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Reimer Show with your host, Ed Reimer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
And we are here. This is the Edwin Lee Reimer Show, and I'm your host, Ed Reimer, and this show is produced at the studios of WGNS. 1450 AM, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, former capital of the great state of Tennessee. You can reach us tonight with your questions and comments at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can also send us a text to that number if you're a little too high or too shy and don't want to go on the air. Connor will be glad to read it over the air for us, or he'll give it to one of us here. We can get it. He'll write it down. We'll read it for you. Guests tonight are Mr. Bill Wilson, Mr. Murfreesboro, and Mr. Pat Clement, your candidate for District 19. I will say that Shay Woods was going to be with us, but she could not make it, but we were going to have her on at a later date, okay? And I think, and if you're listening, Shay, we'll get straightened out. Get you used to this bunch up here.
Can I interject here?
Yes.
You've upped your game. You know I love history. I like the way you interjected that Murfreesboro was the state capital.
Yeah.
I just wanted
to. Yeah. There's a center point.
1818 to 1826.
Yeah, right over by MTSU, the center point. Was it Center Point Drive or, you know.
Geographic center of Tennessee.
Geographic center of Tennessee. It's there.
Yeah, used to drink beer there.
You can watch us on YouTube live at News Radio WGNS, News Radio WGNS, Facebook Live. You can go to YouTube and catch all my broadcasts there that we've had from all of our past guests. And just look it up. Type in The Edwin Lee Reimer Show. You can get it. I did this the other day. I Googled myself, and yes, it comes up on Google. So Ed Reimer, R-A-Y-M-E-R. And download the WGNS app, and you can take WGNS with you wherever you go and listen whenever you wish. And listen to Jason Qualls every once in a while. He gives some great financial advice in the afternoons if he's not interrupted by baseball right now, and that they've pretty well taken him off the air for that, for baseball right now. But he's still with us, and he's got good guests, good advice. Angela Bingham with Simplicity, her and Angie Marie, they just left here. Angie Renee. I'm going to get that right one of these days. But they just left here a while ago and doing great work and feeding people and doing special events and things and doing what the people of faith are supposed to be doing. And they're doing it. There's no doubt about it. Check out Simplicity every Sunday here at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we come on with you at 8. And, Bill, you're here with something. And, Pat, we're going to get
you. I want to thank you for calling me to ask me to come on the show. Oh. No, you know.
Tell me what's going on.
Hey, I'm not a tree hugger. Let's get that out there.
I understand.
First.
No, you're not.
I believe in the Lord.
No,
and
Pat's a tree hugger.
Pat, are you a tree hugger? Get him out of here.
There's more than one picture of me hugging a tree out in the woods.
Well, he's got a boat and a big truck to pull it, I can tell you that.
Thank God for trees. Yeah. I think they help out with pencils.
Okay, why are
pencils,
you here?
Toilet paper. Listen, I was walking today. Actually, someone called me and said, hey, you're not going to believe what's going on. They're hacking down these magnolia trees over on at the Forest Point subdivision off Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Right.
So I had to...
Next to the co-op.
Well, no, it's
right.
not.
It's
no,
down
it's
from
a,
the co-op.
Yeah, it's that church. It's always vacant. There's nobody there. I mean, I'm sorry, but... And I go to a Baptist church, so I can say this. But anyway, so I wanted to investigate. So I'm walking Bronx from Mayors. And look, George Washington's been out here chopping down trees, but they weren't cherry trees. They're magnolia trees.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going on here? So I talked to a few people in the, I talked to some people who lived in the development. And I was told... At one time, that church was going to try to develop, put townhomes there, right? There's a field between...
Bellwood Baptist is the church in question.
Yes.
Where a good man, Pastor Jim Averett, was for years.
Right. Yeah. I think Woodrow Medlock at one time.
Brother Medlock, I've heard the name, but he was before my time.
Very respected. Very respected.
Right.
Actually,
yes, he was.
He preached
very
his own funeral. Yeah. So, I hear that. I was like, why would somebody chop down? Because those magnolia trees, first of all, if you've ever seen a magnolia tree, they smell good. They're shade. You know,
I'm sure
rabbits have their families there. But it just got interesting. And then I looked also, the Hunters Point subdivision sign had been malaid. I mean, there was a big hole there. So what I found out is that the church... And the HOA had been into it over who actually owns that land. Those trees had been there for years.
Right.
And that sign had been there for 20 to 30 years.
I went over to look at it. I investigated last night after we talked. And I did notice, and I wondered about the right of way.
I'm going to talk about being neighborly. We all know what the Lord says about being neighborly.
Right.
You know, do unto your neighbors have you done to yourself. The golden rule, right?
Right, yeah.
Well... The whole fact is, I was like, why would somebody approach, somebody's going by, I'm not going to name names, and they videoed these, they were like 20-year-olds cutting these trees down. It was like 8 of them, maybe 10.
Looked like it, yeah.
They're chopping these trees down. And they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. So they called the police like, hey, you can't do that. Well, the boy said, well, I'm doing what the church tells me to do. So... Apparently, there had been either a lawsuit or something. There had been some legalities between the two and the HOA and the church. And brother, Judge Scarlett, Daryl, Judge Scarlett ruled, in favor of the church.
Daryl Scarlett,
yeah,
judge. Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, I love Daryl. Great, great guy, great judge. So he ruled in favor of the church, which... They own the land. I mean, property right owners. I can do well, you know, if I want to put whatever's my
land. Sure,
I think
so, yeah.
But as long as it's not a nuisance or whatever. But there was no, I was trying to find out why would, it looks like it was out of meanness.
It looks like they
chopped them down.
I'm thinking you can
chop the trees down if the city wants, the city can do anything. You know, they have a right of way.
Sure.
There's a thing called easements. But that, the sign itself is in the right of way.
But it's to the subdivision.
It's personal property that the subdivision owns, and they've maintained it. They've maintained these trees. They've maintained the sign and the area around the sign, nice landscape, and they've done that for years.
Really?
But I just, it didn't make any sense to me. Why would somebody do that? Several years ago, they were going to put townhomes there.
You in that field.
In that field. In that if you field, drive by there, right. you can see the mounds where they started trying, I guess, looking for places to build. And long story short, the buyers backed out, said, nah, we're not going to do it. So, and I think that the church, which I don't even know if they meet over there or not. I don't even know if there's a congregation. Probably, you know, some fine people. But it just didn't make sense. Why would somebody want to do that? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Now, I could see if they're widening the road there. But there's a lot of people who depend on that sign, you know.
Sure, to know where you're at. Yeah, because I was looking for it, and it's gone.
Yeah.
You were telling you there's a sign that used to be there, but there's a hole in it.
So I think what's going to happen is that the HOA somehow, the church is going to have to put some equivalent trees there and magnolias.
They may very well.
I think that's what will happen. And they'll have to do something about that sign because it's personal property. So it just didn't make sense to me. And I did a Facebook Live and it's just not right. Just what wasn't right.
Have you talked to any of the
I would have gotten arrested.
The folks that live over there yet? Has anyone talked to a few
people and they could. Right. Yeah, I mean, I can read some of the stuff, but it's. Yeah, it was bad. Let me read this one thing.
Okay.
And if Jimmy Richardson, are you there? you call in. Let's see. Let me read this to you. And here's what he said. I just asked him, what's going on? My first thought on the so-called church ripping up trees and defacing and not removing the HOA sign is this. Other than destroying habitats for birds, what purpose did tearing down the trees have? They claim they're not selling that lot. What was the purpose? Revenge? Vengeance? A dose of, we'll show you. To be clear, I'm not passing judgment because that's not my place. But I would challenge those congregants to ask themselves this. What man of God would encourage or command them to engage in property destruction? How does tearing down trees and defacing a sign give glory to God? And if that pastor can't answer that to your satisfaction, maybe he isn't a man of God. And if he's wrong about this, what else is he wrong about?
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm going to say. I didn't say that. That's Jimmy, local attorney.
And he's a resident over there.
The trees were on church property? I'm not completely following what
Well, that's the thing, Pat. I don't know if they're on church property, if they were on a right of way.
Well, they were. Say they are on church property, but they did it to be. I think they did it as revenge of there was a lawsuit. And
really?
They're saying they're not wanting to sell this land. It's valuable land.
Oh, yeah.
There was no reason. Even if I owned it, but you get into property rights of whoever owns this. I can do with what I want. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very neighborly.
Magnolias are great screens to give, you know, separation of spaces.
Yes, and they're places for animals. I mean, they smell good. Who doesn't like a magnolia tree?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
And I'm leaving.
I love those hot summer days and the magnolias are down here. It smells like lemons to me.
Oh, man, so great. I'm telling you. Yeah. So, well, they took out, as best I could tell, you're right, about 8 or 10,
And there may be a few of those that needed to be taken out, or they were dying, but there was a lot more that were a living example of life. Anyway, that's all I got to say. And if something happens, I'll let you know. Yeah. Dennis Ferrier hadn't got involved yet, but, you know.
Okay. All right. I have a feeling Dennis may show up over there.
Yeah. But then you've got the election coming up Tuesday. Everybody needs to get out and vote. Tuesday, polls are open.
Early voting right now is over. Right.
Yeah, and from 7 to 7. And a good thing about Rutherford County is you can go and vote at any precinct.
Right.
As long as you have your ID.
That's one thing that we have said about Alan Farley. He runs a top.
He does a good job.
He runs a great organization. It's not an organization. I mean, it's not his personally, but he's got some good people. They do a great job.
They keep it
our election people.
So if you live in Laverne and you're in Bradenville, you can, and there's a place in Bradenville, you can vote there.
It's unbelievable. We had it down in Laverne when the wife, she's retired now, but she was an accountant for Ingram Book. And at lunchtime, she could go right there at Laverne somewhere, wherever they had a precinct or the voting station, and she could go vote, come back. You know.
Well, I'm not a election lawyer, but but okay. You know, in Tennessee, there is a law that requires employers to let you take time, unpaid time away from work to go vote.
I don't think Ingram never had a problem with that most companies don't,
but there are a lot of people that don't that I mean, employers out there, you need to listen and like let your people go vote employees, instead of going and out to the lake and swimming or fishing or something, really go vote. Don't just go take the afternoon off.
And some people
take 10 minutes minutes to go vote,
and some people have said, well, to make election day a holiday.
Yeah.
And but I'm going to tell you something, with as many people as we've got now, I made that mistake, and I went one time on election day, and my wife had begged me for years, you need to go early vote. Women don't know what they're talking about. Well, I went on election day.
Yeah.
And it was hot. And I stood there. It was August.
Yeah.
And I was sweaty when I come out of there. Everybody and their grandmother decided to vote that day. And I have early voted since. Okay.
And that's usually early vote. That's usually.
You don't want to stand in line. You go early vote.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's whoever wins early voting, from my experience, wins. Whoever gets the most votes.
Right.
During early voting. I should have said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Win the primary.
The primary.
Yeah, win the primary. But, I mean.
So, some seats don't have.
Yeah, that's true.
But we really have a lot of people right now that may be Democrats that are voting in the Republican primary because they want to vote for someone for sheriff, or they grew up with someone, or whatever the case might be. Sheriff is the big thing, I believe, right now.
Right.
And. And then is there any other
county mayor?
County mayor,
they may
want to, do that. But then we'll have the election August 6th.
Sixth,
right, Pat? So
that's the general, right?
It's the general election. That's nobody wins the position until they pass August 6th.
And Pat, you are running for District 19.
19, yes, sir.
And how's it going? Tell us about it. You've been here before. Are you glad you did it?
It's it keeps getting busier and busier.
Right.
I keep learning more and more.
Right.
I keep meeting so many interesting people out there in the community and hearing what their concerns are. A lot of people are really happy to see me.
Right.
So, we're at the point now, once we clear primaries, we're going to be full tilt. You know,
using
as many resources as we can, you know, Every candidate out there needs donations.
Sure, sure.
You know, understood. Elections don't run on oxygen.
Yeah, air and water. They do. Yeah.
I thought they were free. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, money's not the most important thing. You have to have a good candidate. And money's not the most important, or oxygen is not the most important thing, but you need it to breathe, you know.
Sure.
And then volunteers, and of course people to go vote.
Right.
Just like
we've got you
about.
Here tonight, and I'm behind you. I'll say that. I don't want to throw Bill in the mix. I don't know because we can't vote for you. Okay, and that that's part of it. But we're glad to have you, and you're welcome back here anytime. And
people that pull a primary Democratic primary ballot in my district saw me and probably Jonathan Yancey. So we didn't have any competition there, but we'll have competition on August 6th.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's interesting, the sheriff's race.
Right.
Everybody knows I'm supporting Trey Mansfield.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason being, and I know Steve, I don't know the Barrett gentleman, but I know that.
I don't know any of them.
I'm
sure they're nice guys.
Myself, and a good person, good family, as well as Steve Spence. But for some reason, I'm thinking. And Trey has 28, 30 years of experience of being a police officer.
Sure.
All three candidates have one thing in common.
Worked at sheriff's office.
They're all three bald. Now, and listen up. But if we're, okay. Have y'all been to New Orleans? I just mentioned this. If we go down a dark alley in New Orleans, okay. Us three, Ed, you probably get through just because your size. But if we get,
I doubt it.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm not going to New Orleans.
You're a bowling ball. We're going you right through the thing and getting behind you. Maybe we don't need a ship. Anyway, if we go down a dark alley.
You just have to be faster than Ed.
And we get the three candidates together. I promise you, we're going to come through. Trey Mansfield is going to get us through there. He has the look of a sheriff. He has the experience of a sheriff that a sheriff needs. And he's not connected to the sheriff's department, which has been under investigation. It's had Candy Crush. You've had... e-cigarettes. I mean, nothing.
Oh, yeah. Right. Nothing yeah, we go wrong, back.
But
right.
Okay. Trey has nothing to do with that. It's time for some new leadership, some fresh eyes, fresh brains, fresh ideas. And I think Trey's the one to get it done. And nothing against Barrett or Spence. Good guys. Great guys.
Right. Okay.
In this instance, Trey Mansfield's my guy. The mayor's race. That's an interesting race. You got three candidates, and
Craig Harris, and of course Joe Carr, and Randy Allen.
Yeah,
Randy's a super nice guy.
He's a great guy, integrity,
right?
Honest. His father actually gave me my first job.
Mr. Allen hired me
to change oil in cars. Believe it or not, at Mr. McQuick's Oil Lube, I still have my little name tag. In case I want to go back, you know. But I've known Randy all my life. We grew up together. We got an announcement coming up on him.
Right.
I was, supporting one other candidate before Randy got in. Let's just say that.
All right.
And, okay. And then we got the circuit court clerk, which Melissa Harrell, grew up together, went to school together.
Yeah.
Love her. But I think, when I have different people saying, hey, needs to be a change there too. So I'll be supporting Jeff McKinney. And there's somebody is calling, and I'm probably going to get cussed out or threatened right here.
I doubt it. Something new, anything you're used to.
Morton Downey Jr. here. So that's
we
why.
Got, okay. Go ahead. We got a caller. Go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Mr. Raymer, how you doing?
Good. Oh.
Mr. Mercer, how you?
Hey, is this Jeff Neal?
Yeah, it is. Sure is. How you doing?
I am good, man.
I just want to say, Mr. Clemens, I want to say you hope your campaign goes well. I know Mr. Yancey a little bit. He seems like a good guy. I don't know. I just wanted to ask you what we all kind of know what some of the issues are in Mercer and Rutherford County. I just want to ask you what some of your top things you want to do if you get elected, if you're in the position to do that. I'll just hang up and listen, get everybody go out and vote. Make your voice heard on Tuesday if you didn't during early voting. And like I said, if you don't, somebody said before, if you don't, you can't complain. So go out and do it and push the button and let it go. So hang in there, guys.
Jeff Neal, Jeff, thank you very much. Jeff Neal, good supporter of this broadcast and a supporter of WGNS. Pat, go ahead.
Sure. Well,
he wants to know what you bring to the table.
Yeah, that's the key question, right? Number one, the county has been growing at breakneck speed for decades, right?
We've been
exponentially. I mean, it's been doubling.
Started
every
in the 80s,
10 years
basically.
Or something. You know, we're 300 something thousand. We're about to exceed. We're supposed to be the fourth biggest county. We keep. Jumping back and forth with Hamilton County and Chattanooga.
I think you're right, yeah.
And maybe past commissions of we're bound to slow down. Why do we let our foot off the gas if we're going to slow down any minute? But we haven't been slowing down forever. Are we going to slow down anymore? Are builders going to quit building and people going to quit moving here? I don't know. But, those numbers are going up, and we should be building infrastructure to support that growth.
Sure.
We should we should know that another however many thousands of people are coming here in the next 10 years, and we should be building infrastructure proactively for it. And in my opinion, if we can find a way to get development to pay for that, that's a hard thing to do because the state prevents us by law from doing that.
Right.
So, like, we've had an overcrowded jail for 10 years, 11
that's
years.
Have. Yeah.
And, you know, finally the state came in and said, you have to build another jail. It's like, all right, we're going to, you know.
Along with two high schools, I believe.
Right. We have high schools coming in. And, you know, the school board several months ago projected the number of kids in different grades.
Right.
I'm not running for school board, but they I found it interesting. They brought in a consultant and they figured out how many kids you would have based on the type of the home. So starter homes are going to have young kids.
Sure.
You know, as the houses get more expensive, you're going to have kids and older kids and kids going to high school or even like retired people. So you can project where kids are going to be.
Sure.
So without a growth plan, you can't get those numbers. You know, when we
right.
nixed Plan Rutherford,
okay.
when we
yeah.
nixed Plan Rutherford, it's not nixed. The Planning Commission is still using it, but the county commission doesn't have to rely on it. So I was disappointed when they left it, and if it came back through again to adopt the Plan Rutherford, I would adopt it. Unfortunately, I don't get to vote on that, at least this cycle. So anyway, getting ahead of the growth, figuring out a way to where we know what infrastructure we need. We know, you know, when are we going to run into a water problem? You know, when are we going to run into how do we scale the police, the sheriff's department for growth? How do we get ahead of that? That's my big issue. I hope that makes sense. Sometimes I overcomplicate my answer. I hope that answered it for Jeff.
What did you say? What do you mean? What did he just say?
Yeah, so it's growth. I mean, every problem we have, the landfills,
everything,
growth problem.
Yeah, it goes back to
the jail
to that.
Is a
right.
Is a growth problem. Yeah. The schools are a growth problem. Every time we have a problem, it's because of the
more
growth.
More people, so, more trash. More people, yeah. more jails. More people,
more students.
Everything. More students. More people in jail.
But my yeah. Talking about school board, okay? And this is mm-hmm. important, and not that county commission is not important. It all comes together.
Sure.
And but you know this. And Bill, you being in real estate, you know this affects your business. There's
oh, yeah,
no doubt about
sure.
it.
Sure.
And the builders and the people do this. But they come here because, why'd you come here? My wife and I were saying, we got great schools.
Great schools.
You've got great schools.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've got a legislature down in Nashville and here locally that it seems to be all these Republicans want to do is do away with public school, and we'll just voucher everybody in and do that. Well, that's wonderful, and that's fine. But still, you have more than 50,000 students that are attending public schools and public education.
Right.
Okay? I happen to think it's a pretty good deal.
Yep.
And I've said it before. I've told our property assessor right here, who's, by the way, cleared of all charges from this state, and rightfully so, and didn't have to you know, take an oath or anything. He's cleared. That's it. And he's owed an apology, which he'll never get. But nonetheless, you know, if he has to go up on our property tax $100-$150 so we don't have a raise a county full of goofballs, I'm in favor of that. You know, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
You're saying goofballs if they're not educated. Is that what you mean?
That's what I'm talking about.
You know,
yeah, they don't
want,
you know.
Hey, I went to public schools. I went to private schools. And I went to, not parochial, but behavior school?
I'm going to tell you something, Pat. Uh-oh. Now, right there is a good example of where we have failed in our public schools. Just look at that.
No. The parents have to help make decisions, too.
That's true. That is true.
Because.
And a lot of parents do, but then there are those that do not.
Right.
But
it's a lot of money. It's interesting. We're talking about this. A budget, 1978. I've got a copy of the budget when Dad was chairman of the county commission.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Do you know what? It was like $6 or $7 million. The biggest expense was building schools. And roads.
Right.
Right.
That was it.
Well, our current county budget has $0 in it for building roads.
You posted that, I think, or someone did. How does that work?
Well, so the way I understand it,
okay,
is that the county has, well, their city, their county, and their state roads that run through Rutherford County. So the state is responsible for state roads.
Sure.
The city's responsible for city roads.
Right.
But you know, builders, the county has road maintenance dollars, and they get that from gas tax.
Yeah,
mostly gas tax. So they repave, but there's no money in there to buy right away, to straighten out intersections, to widen small sections. I live off
turn
old
lanes.
Nashville Highway.
Yeah.
Old Nashville Highway is narrow.
That it is, and something's going to have to be done.
There are piles of cars going up and down.
That's exactly right.
But we'd have to buy right away, or we'd have to divert traffic off of it. You know, that's planning. Is you put a big stop sign halfway down it and send routes over to.
And Bill, you and I have seen this. Old Nashville Highway, Bill, has become more heavily traveled over the last 20 years.
There in Jefferson Pike.
Yeah.
Connecting Smyrna to Murfreesboro and Northern Park.
Years ago, it used to be. Listen, I talk like, now used to be, you know, let me tell you, in the old days, if you wanted to air out your car, you could either go on the interstate or you could go down Old Nashville Highway. There wasn't anybody there.
Before the interstate, you went down Broad Street or Old Nashville Highway.
But that's not the case anymore. That thing is crowded. And, Pat, I know because we have some property out that way. It's rental property. Mm-hmm. And I go there every weekend. And by the way, I don't care if it's Saturday or Sunday. It is crowded.
Sure.
We need a rail system going right down the middle of I-24.
Well,
all the way to downtown.
So that's state, federal
corridors. Yeah. Right.
While you're on that, it's not in the scope of the county commission to deal with this, but like the choice lanes.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard about
that. Pay $30 or $40 to get in the choice lane and zip into work. Like how many
is that the HOV?
How many like single parents that are struggling to keep up with their family and you know pay the rent here
and pay another
can really go
bucks.
Pay $30 to shave off an hour off their drive one way, you know, and then you're giving up right away to that lane for 50 years to a private company. And where are you going to put a rail if you ever do decide? We do decide we have to have a rail to,
I don't know.
To keep the community growing.
Oh, I think in 20 years it's something none of us have ever anticipated. It's going to be something else.
It's going to be like the Jetsons.
I drive 90 minutes each way to work. I go in 2 to 3 days a week, and I work from home the other days. But it's like taking 3 hours out of my day.
3 hours.
Now, what does that do for like? Somebody's getting by. How do they improve themselves when they have 3 hours a day? Yeah. And that's saying people that work in Nashville live in Rutherford County.
Plus, Pat, you've got to have the expense of a car. And a car costs money. Gas, goodness gracious, goodness knows, we all know that, costs a few dollars right now.
Right.
Yeah. You know. And I'll tell you what we're going to do, and we're with Pat Clement here. Bill, I think, are you going to stay with us? You going to rush out? Whatever. We're going to take our break here, if we could, Connor. Connor's on the board. Ed Raymer, Pat Clement is here. He's running he's asking for your vote for District 19 County Commission. Bill Wilson is here just crying the blues. And I'm Ed Raymer. We'll be with you for the balance of the hour. Stay with us. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged to follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. PIOFMT.com. That's PIOFMT.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
And I want to tell you about a great friend of ours, Jay Mullins Jewelers. You know, they've been in this county for going on 100 years now. And their new location is 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Jewelry for any and all occasions, weddings, birthdays, of course, all holidays, Christmas and everything, getting real busy around the Christmas holidays. Check them out at 1640 Memorial Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. You know, Jay Mullins Jewelers. Can't beat it. All right, and we are back with Mr. Pat Clement. Pat, glad to have you here. Bill has run on, and he's had a couple of things to do. Pat, you say you're talking to people. What do you, when you sit down, we're talking about the road issue, for example, and that is an issue that comes up. What are you hearing from these folks?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, the roads are the first thing that people really under. We talked about infrastructure earlier with the school buildings and a new jail and all those sort of things. But people understand roads because roads end up with full of cars, and everybody, you know, you're not in traffic, you are traffic.
That's right. That's right. Sure.
So I mean, people understand that, and they when I first moved into the house I'm in, we could ride our bicycle out on the old Nashville Highway and turn on Florence and go ride my wife and I could ride for 35, 40 miles out there through my district, through what's my district now.
Sure.
And you just can't do that anymore. There's too many cars. You know, everybody's in a hurry because they're late.
Right. So,
So the other thing that I've heard people talking about is, school. They get redistricted to another school, and they lose half their friends when, move to another school, and they have to start with a whole new set of classmates and that sort of thing. So, and that's another, infrastructure. As one school gets fuller than another school, the kids have to move to a different school. And people don't like that change in their life. Like I said, I'm not in school board, and I'm not moving kids around myself, but it's something that their people are interested in. I think gas prices are hurting people. You know, I think I talked about it before, but there's a United for Alice report where like 43% of Rutherford County residents are basically on the verge of bankruptcy. You know, they're one paycheck away from being behind on bills or worse. And as things like gas prices go up or any kind of changes to the economy, that hurts those working people. That's what we worry about. There are a lot of people out there just barely getting by.
And of course, the price of gas, which the county commission has no control over. But people are, they think because if you get that there's something you can do about it, and there's not really.
Right, right.
But when you're talking about building jails, building schools, we're talking about multi-millions of dollars now. We're not talking about $30,000-$40,000. I mean, we're talking serious, serious money.
That's right.
And as I understand, if I remember correctly, our own Sheriff Fitchew, had said, I don't think they can build out there on any of the land they're on because I think it's in a floodplain. I'm not sure about that, and I'll stand corrected on that. But where the jail is now.
Oh, in the jail. Okay.
Because there's area out there. There's land. But I think it's in a floodplain. I don't know if they'll let them build there.
I'm not sure, but I haven't heard that.
I don't know. But, I mean, it was built to hold, 800 inmates, 600, whatever it was.
Right.
And we've had close to 900. And the sheriff's done just as good a job as he can. But he's sometimes his hands are – he's in handcuffs too.
Sure.
And it's not all peaches and cream.
Sure, and a lot of people that are more in the know, I'm repeating things I've heard because I don't.
Sure.
I'm not in the jail right. every day counting.
Right.
It sure. can be over 1,000, and a lot of the people that are sitting in there just can't. They're economically unable to make bail. You know,
sure.
And I don't know the level of violent crimes or the level of violence in their crimes.
I agree.
There are people that are sitting there that can't make bail in that jail. The other problem that we have that I understand is that a lot of the inmates, I've heard a sheriff candidate say it in voter forums that I've been in, like 40% of the candidate or 40% of the candidates.
Yeah.
40% of the male inmates need psychiatric care. And 80% right. of the female inmates need psychiatric care.
Yeah,
they're in jail right. because of psychiatric issues.
Right.
You know, and that's a chronic problem in this,
medication
in this
and all that. And somebody right. lots of time the opioid problem is here. And goodness knows we've got a drug problem.
Sure.
And an alcohol problem. You know, sometimes an alcohol problem. But, you know, all this, you know, when you win yeah, I guess you're ready for your phone to start ringing because, I mean, it is people have a lot of questions.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, price of groceries, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've wondered, let me throw something at you. And I just thought of that, and I saw this right. earlier in the week. Mamdani in New York. He's opening up 4 or 5 free grocery stores. Okay. What, you know, and I have wondered about this, and I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not going to hamstring you with it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm wondering with some products, why we're not giving away subsidize the farmers, which we're already doing, subsidize them a little more. And I'm talking about now in the produce aisle, vegetables, beans, mm-hmm. pasta, just simple at least that people can eat, and I'm all for it. Give it away, you know.
Sure.
Well, I mean, could it be done?
I know back in the in Rutherford County does have some areas from I can't tell you which ones they are, but
right.
When I lived in Nashville, there were urban problems with food deserts.
Sure.
You know, and I think mm-hmm. in Rutherford County it'd be like before if everybody didn't have a Dollar General, you know to. You know, closest thing to my house is a Dollar General. We zip over there and grab milk or whatever. But, you know, a food desert is a place that people can't get healthy food.
Right.
And, you know, in yeah. New York City, even, you know, with everything as rich as that city, you know, diverse that
sure.
city is,
right.
there are people that couldn't find healthy food close to where they live.
Yeah, even though their pizza's so, great by the slice, and I'd love to have a piece of it, but you can't live
you can't
on
eat
that.
Pizza you know, for every
I mean,
meal.
You can't
right.
eat pizza for every meal.
That's right.
And that's wonderful. But, you know, it is something to think about. He's going to do that up there. And
yeah.
I don't believe the other grocery stores will suffer for that. I really don't, because a lot of those people are not able to go to a regular grocery store and spend that great amount of money anyway.
Right, right.
You know? And you got a mom and dad and 2 kids. Man. You're
yeah,
talking about
yeah.
a bunch of money, you know.
Sure. I mean, that's a problem in a lot of places. I'm not sure the county commission is going to solve that, but
right, right.
But you know, and the people that have that trouble, you know, food availability or whatnot is certainly something.
Do you think the school board is receiving enough in funds? Because they eat up a whole lot of the county budget.
So. I'm on the side of all kids ought to eat their meals for free. I mean,
that's
we talked about that
I've
before.
Ask for it for here, yeah.
Right here. Yeah. Families are obliged to go to school, and there are kids that can't eat or you know, I said it before, like when I'm hungry at work, I do my worst work. You know, when I'm thinking
right.
about lunch. It's time to get something to eat.
Right.
So, you know, and that's human nature. My wife, Teresa, she gets hangry at night. You know, 5:30 p.m., she wants dinner.
It's time to eat.
And
right.
she
sure.
gets in a bad mood. And so the kid, you know, kids are the same way. You know, if you got hungry kids in school, they're not going to be doing their best. And one of the things that I said in my campaign is that this, you know, the schools are the best thing that we have in Rutherford County. That's what brings families here.
Yes.
There are other things that are good about Rutherford County, too, but the schools are the best. Schools should be uncompromised. Whatever schools need, whatever teachers need, whatever the students need to do their best, that's what we need to give them. And really, I'd be looking forward to working with the school board to make those things happen.
And here's the thing, too. And we had a problem with this in some areas of the country where you wound up with a bunch of franchises in schools, pizzas and the Taco Bells and all that. And you found out that somebody had a buddy or a brother on the county commission. Well, guess what? Or the city council. And guess what? We wound up putting one in the school to feed the kids. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about old-fashioned, put the ladies back in the lunchroom.
Pizza day.
Pizza day was one. Me and the wife were talking about that just the other day. That pizza was delicious. And those rolls they made, hey, man, you give me that and a couple sticks of butter, I'll make you a meal.
Yeah. We had flying saucer day where they took a piece of bologna and put a scoop of mashed potatoes in the middle, and then they baked it and it curled the edges up and it looked like
Are you kidding me?
No.
I never had that. Let me tell you something, man. Those ladies made, and I say ladies, it was predominantly ladies that worked in the kitchen, but they made some awfully good meals. And I'm telling you, and I think when I started school, I think that lunch was a quarter, okay?
Yeah.
You know, we had free lunch back when I went to school. What I've said is feed them all. Forget it. Feed the kids, please. Feed them. And again, we've got it because we're spending a bunch of it already. And well, I do want to say to people that are watching, hello, Debbie Miller. Hi. She says, go vote. And Rob Mitchell, hello, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Rob.
And thank you all. Thank you so much. But if you know, when they're hungry, it's not going to work. I want free breakfast, free lunch, and a snack in the afternoon.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, Pat, that's a lot of those kids. That's some of them that maybe all they get all day.
And I'll tell you the other thing about schools is, you know, businesses are going to come here for a variety of reasons. And,
exactly,
you know,
right.
One might be a low-paying workforce, low-cost workforce,
right,
low-skill workforce. I'm not sure that's something that we ought to be really proud of.
No.
I mean, I think everybody needs to work. But, you know, our schools ought to be preparing people for professional jobs that are going to lift the community up. You know, for industries, we need kids that know how to operate robots.
That's exactly right.
You know,
But you're still going to have people that know how to build houses, electricians, plumbers, welders. Let me tell you something. A good welder years ago, I don't know about today. Let me tell you something, man. Welders made top-notch money.
Yep.
And machinists and people that form these to make these products, we need those people.
Sure. And trades, for sure. Yeah,
the trades, for sure.
I went to Votech when I was in high school.
Did you?
I went to learn to work on outboard motors.
Loved it, man. Loved it. I'm telling you right. Well, it's going to come in handy for that big monstrosity of a boat you've got. And
it does. I was working on it this
afternoon. Do not call me, all right? You're on your own on that one now. But seriously, I mean, we are about the fourth largest county in the state. We've got to do something about this. And these are some problems you're going to be handed.
Sure.
You know, not only hand you the keys to the courthouse, they'll hand you a whole list of things you're going to be saddled with.
I mean, the hardest thing about, you know, everybody can come up with a wish list of things that they want to spend money on. Like, yeah. I would love for the county to widen Old Nashville Highway. I'd love for them to put a multi-use biking and walking path down Rucker like that community was promised out there.
Right.
And they did all that development and it never followed through. But the things take money.
It takes cash.
And I'm, you know, I'd never go and say, let's raise property tax to widen Old Nashville Highway. But we might say, you know, where can we squeeze to get the small amount of more budget that we need out of the school board budget to feed kids.
And will the state kick in on some of that too? Because is that considered a state road or Old Nashville Highway?
Oh, Old Nashville. I don't think it is. I think it's a county road now.
It's county road. So, it's county road. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to the road planners and things. And I know there'll probably be some people on the other side of Old Nashville Highway that wouldn't like it. But in my old hometown, Highway 98 down the beach.
Sure.
Used to go from Fort Walton all the way to Panama City.
That's right.
And they built a bypass in, and suddenly they put stop signs every two blocks and built beach access and condos and everything else. And
I've been down there.
The old 98 can't be used for through traffic anymore. So, you know, can you reimagine a corridor like Old Nashville Highway? You know, where one that's more livable, where people get their sidewalks and people walking or whatever. I mean, you know, you have to be careful because there are a lot of places that are affordable along there. And when you make improvements in it to a neighborhood, suddenly the property value goes up people can't afford to live there anymore.
Well, and now you've got that on Old Nashville Highway with the new subdivision that's going in there. Is it Burleson, like right across from the old boat factory?
That's right across the street from my house.
Right across the street from your house. That's where you're living. Okay.
Across from Burleson.
And a bunch of houses in there. Nice homes.
Yeah.
Really nice homes.
Well, when I moved in there, there was an old barn on that property. It was 100 acres.
Right.
And it used to flood, and all the water would run off across the street into my backyard, and we'd float the canoe across the backyard. So I have to say this: when they built that neighborhood, they did stop our flooding problem.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But you know, the houses are really nice, but they do add a tremendous amount of traffic. Those kind of developments.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And it's not just one. It's all of them.
And up at the stoplight, too, between Old Nashville Highway and what is that, Florence Road, where the stoplight is up there. I mean, man, you're backed up, and sometimes both ways.
Well, I pull out, I pull off of Burleson onto Old Nashville Highway, and the cars are stacked up. But it's just one symptom. Everybody's got a story like that in this county.
Sure.
You look at roads like Veterans that's in my district, and it was built to handle development. And that's what's happening out there, and everybody's shocked that these fields are turning into subdivisions out off of Veterans.
I agree.
But it's that's what it was designed for. They put the 4-lane road in there to handle the traffic, and now they're developing to. That's the kind of space that's planned for that kind of development.
Sure.
Whether neighbors like it or not, that's a whole nother discussion.
Well, and that goes back to Old Nashville Highway. When I moved here, Old Nashville Highway, like Mel and I were talking a while ago, you know, there wasn't that many cars on Old Nashville Highway. Everybody had moved to the new Murfreesboro Road, Nashville Highway, whatever you want to call that out here. Highway 41, whatever. But that's not the case today. And there are many communities that are facing this. Bradyville Pike is another one. All over the county. Laverne has their share of problems. Smyrna.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not easy to this is easier said than done than sitting down with a pencil and a piece of paper and redrawing everything.
I mean, things like Plan Rutherford are designed to project things out 10 years or 20 years.
Did you think Plan Rutherford was a good thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course. It still is in the Planning Commission.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it tells you how you're going to use land. Smyrna and Laverne, for instance, was a dense development area. But it's close. Nashville's swallowing it up.
Yes, it is.
Becoming more and more dense. Sure. People want to live closer to Nashville.
Right.
You know, everything close to the highway is going to be dense. Everything around downtown Murfreesboro is going to be dense. It's just where do you put the people and how do they get to where they need to go?
Well, and I think it was Commissioner Pettus Reed had worked, they've worked like four or five years on this thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people worked on this thing to try and get it right. And now they move it. They don't want to, I think you wanted one house per acre. Now somebody's come up with maybe we'll put two.
Sure.
And that wasn't the entire, that wasn't the gist of the plan, as I understand.
Sure. Back when I used to do bike ped advocacy, we looked at plans all the time. We went to public comment. We partnered with transit advocacy groups, and we looked at all the planning for the AMP and how when people get off the bus, how are they going to get to the last mile or where they want to go.
Sure.
But these plans happen all the time. Smyrna's in the middle of doing a long transportation and community plan right now.
Sure. Right.
And those public hearings are happening right now. And the earlier you get in on those things, the more influence you'll have on the plan. Because by the time they get the first draft of the plan written,
I see what you're saying.
The earlier comments have a bigger influence on the plan.
I see what you're saying. Right.
Yeah, but going over those maps, looking at the way people move, where they live, where they need to go, where they want to go, Those are all the things that a good plan, the way a plan is engineered.
And you're talking about things that a lot of us, we never think about.
Right.
And
right.
And why should we?
In my career, yeah. I mean, I've built so many big networks, you know, computer networks, but packets flowing on a network is the same way cars move on a road.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
I think our techie over here is going like, yeah,
he knows exactly. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, yeah. It happens, you know. And, well, we certainly wish you, I wish you luck. I really do.
Sure.
And I think you bring some great things to the table.
Well, I try to spend as much time as I can letting people know what motivates me and what makes my clock tick.
Right.
You know, and the experiences I've had, because every county commission, the issues that are going to be out 5 years or 3.5 years from now or 4 years from now are going to be different than they are right now.
Sure.
You know, the big ones I hope will be solved, you know, in the time frame they need to be solved. But I think, you know, I just want to share those life experiences to show that I know how to get deep in and deal with big teams and matrix teams and deal with technical things. There are things that I'm not as strong on.
Right.
Some other candidates might be strong. I see people doing deep dives on budgets and looking at line items and things, and I don't think that's me. There are people on the commission that need to, you know, they're different.
Let me ask you your experience with that. Is there a place, and we're down to our last 3 or 4 minutes, but I want to ask you, does AI enter into county government at any stage that you can see? Because I'm not that, I don't know.
Sure. Well, I mean, AI is going to change people's jobs that do repetitive things. You know,
okay.
AI can't change the way people put hands on things. People that use their hands.
Sure.
There are a lot of jobs that AI will make people better at.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it doesn't change, as long as they're not going to lose like the repetitive work they do all the time. For instance, I was looking at firewall logs for a security project.
Sure.
One day I was like, hey, look, I want AI tell me, you know, what's going on with this firewall log or whatever. And it goes, do you want it in this format or this format? And I'm like, okay, A or whatever. And it spits out this report.
Right.
It would have taken me 3 days to do. And it doesn't have a significant impact on my job that way to where I'm going to get laid off because of it. But it makes me better. I find ways to be better with AI tools.
Sure.
There are some jobs there are a lot of folks that are in, say, business analytics, where they spend a lot of time analyzing data, and they can tell AI, take all this huge amount of data and spit it out, and this is the way I want to see it. Or writing simple code, like what used to be entry-level programmer jobs.
Okay.
I don't know where programmers are going to learn how to do their jobs because there are no entry, you know, where's the opportunity for entry-level jobs anymore?
Sure, I see what you're saying.
You
know, okay.
If you want to make a great living, go be a plumber. Five plumbers that retire, there's one plumber that starts.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're going to name.
Because it's not sexy.
No.
Yeah.
I wish I had good answers for you, Ed. I
know. No.
AI is affecting everybody.
Pat. Yeah. I don't know that anyone's got any good answers when it comes to that. I don't think I don't think we know. And I think there's a lot of people that, well, let me explain how this will work. And I don't think they know a bit more than Adam's uncle how that's going to operate.
I mean, personally, it's not a county issue, but, you know, the big AI and big data tools, the way they capture our personal information and our identities. The way flock cameras track us all the time, you know, on a personal issue. We could have a whole other show about that.
Sure, but the images that we're projecting right now that are going out there, they can go all over the world.
Sure.
And maybe they are. I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know. All right, last minute here we've got, and thank you for doing this. Thank you for running. Thank you for putting your name on a ballot.
It's my pleasure.
I never have, and I know at this point in my life I never will.
Yeah,
but I appreciate anyone that does.
It's just time in my life. I had enough experiences, and I feel like it's time for me to serve.
Okay.
So I hope everybody will give me a chance.
Yes. District 19,
Clements,
which encompasses where? Yeah. What area are you in?
It's basically, it's been called West Murfreesboro from Smyrna at Old Nashville Highway and Lee Victory, down Florence Road, through Blackman, across 840, down Veterans, across to one side of Brinkley, one part of Rucker, the north part of Windrow.
Okay.
Coleman Hill is one border. It's
pretty good size area.
It's hard to describe it. It's like 20 something miles long.
Wow.
It's 1 mile wide in the narrowest section. So it's a big, like, weird shaped thing. It's like the last piece of the gerrymandering recipe.
Very good. Thank you so much. And our guest tonight, Bill Wilson, of course, has been here, Mr. Murfreesboro, and Pat Clements. And he is your candidate for District 19 County Commission. Please remember, go vote Tuesday. And the big election comes up August 6th. And we'll be reminding you of that. And I'll tell you what, thank you, Connor, for working the board. Until next Sunday at 6 o'clock, Ed Raymer for the Evan Lee Raymer Show. I'll catch you down the road. Good night.